Welcome, everybody, to episode 556 of RP Grinders. I'm your host, Frank Branches, alongside my trusty cohort, Eric the Great. Breakman the Bold is on assignment this week, so he is off. He will be back next week. Eric, how are you doing, man? How was your week?
All right, cool.
Any exciting news?
I beat a game.
Oh, cool. I'm sure you'll be talking about that later in the show, right? All right.
Oh, yeah, and the Nintendo Direct stuff we could talk about.
Yeah, we got some of that peppered in with the news, I believe, Eric. So we'll get into a lot of that, too. I appreciate the link that you sent out for the people that can't view it live. So, all right, let's do this.
RPG News.
All right, Eric.
Okay, from RPG site, we've got Koei Tecmo announcing Fairy Tail RPG from Gust Studios. And Fairy Tail is an anime that's based on the manga, and it's been around for over 10 years. And so it's one of the long tail shonen shows that are out there. But Gust is doing an RPG of it now. After all this time, I guess they figure since the anime's over, they can feel safe in doing one. Okay. But let's see, it's going to be supervised by the original author, Hiro Mashima. And the game will be revealed during Tokyo Game Show, which starts on the 12th.
Okay.
So, almost a week from now. Anyways, there's not a whole lot of details about it. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, so basically, if you're a fan of the anime, this might be fairly exciting for you. So.
Yeah, because it doesn't sound like it's going to have an original story. It sounds like it's going to go through the entire story.
All right.
Which would make it a meaty RPG, because the show is long. But the show also drags on, because it's probably a show that was running alongside the manga, so
they probably
have lots of filler.
Yeah. All right, Commander Root, welcome to the chat. Appreciate you joining. Next story comes to us from RPGsite.net, and it is about Trials of Mana launches April 24th, 2020 for PS4, Nintendo Switch, and PC via Steam. And there's a little trailer.
Sorry, Xbox guys. Sorry, Breakman. You'll have to get a new console to play this game.
I know. We keep every week hammering him, man. I can't wait till the PS5 comes out, because I kind of want him to get that, man. Like, the PS5 would be nice for him, because he could play PS4 games, and I don't know. But anyways, Square Enix sent, this is an update, sent another new character art for both playable and secondary characters alongside a quick description for each. And I'm looking at the trailer, doesn't look too bad.
The only thing that bothers me is that Square Enix continues to hire not very capable voice actors to do the lines for these games.
Yeah, well, I mean,
like, that's Square, you barely get it right with Final Fantasy, and you should be trying harder there, but you don't even try elsewhere.
I don't think they get it right with Final Fantasy at all, man. Final Fantasy 10.
Well, it depends which Final Fantasy you're playing, though. Okay, 12 was good. 13 had decent voice actors, but everything else about 13 sucks, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, 12, I know, 13 was really bad, man.
So I like the gameplay of 13. I hate the story, and the soundtrack's good, but it also doesn't feel like Final Fantasy.
Yeah, I was going to say, the only thing I enjoyed from it, basically, was the soundtrack, couple of the characters. Voice acting sucked, story sucked.
Or rather, for me, it's more like a couple aspects of a couple of the characters.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I don't know, I kind of liked a couple of the characters, but I didn't enjoy the gameplay all that much in that series, 13 and 13-2.
Well, they did the gameplay of 13-2 is a little bit better.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
the gameplay of a Lightning Returns is much better.
Ugh, I can't bring myself to play Lightning Returns, man, at all. All right, hopefully we can play this next game. Eric, you're up.
Let's see. Anti-RPG Moon to release on Nintendo Switch eShop in Japan on October 10th and later worldwide. Onion Games has announced that Moon will release on Nintendo eShop in Japan and English localization would follow. It was sometimes referred to as Moon Remix RPG Adventure. This game originally released on the original PlayStation in 1997 and never received an official English release prior to now. But, like, the thing that's the most interesting about this game is that it would be a complex game to localize, not because of the amount of text in the game, because the game actually doesn't have any real text. It uses a lot of visual cues, but it's got a lot of other things, like how it's coded, that would make, like, menu localization difficult, and the fact that there's a lot of jokes in there that might be hard to translate culturally, but Onion Games has a penchant for just translating a game as is, so yeah. Who knows how it'll turn out.
Yeah, we'll see. Looks kind of fun. I don't know. I'd be down to play it, Eric. Old school RPG adventure.
I don't think it has any combat because it's supposed to be like a parody of the RPG.
Yeah. Well, that's an interesting concept too. I like games like that. Like, there's a platforming game out now that's like non-death kind of thing, like not combative, you know, and I like that concept, but mm-hmm. All right, let's move on to the next story from rpgsite.net. Game Freak's Little Town Hero launches for Nintendo Switch eShop on October 16th. So information today seems to have an interesting twist where the protagonist teams up with town people and uses, quote, ideas or, quote, eureka in order to take down bosses threatening the town. Additionally, it seems that this RPG actively discourages level grinding to take down these bosses and instead focuses on using strategy to be victorious. I don't like that concept. I mean, this RP Grinders is not RP.
Well, I'm sure there's grinding. It's just grinding for new ideas,
I guess. I mean, if you look at it that way, I guess it's acceptable. But so, it's from the developer of the Pokemon games. Must battle monsters, gather support from townspeople, all while staying within the borders of a single town. Little Town Hero, which also features music by Undertale creator Toby Fox, makes a stand on Nintendo Switch. I said 16th, so there you go. Looks decent enough, Eric. I'd be down to try it, you know? Mm. So, there you go. All right, Eric, what do we got next?
Okay, we got... this isn't even a news article, but we talked about it last week, but Brigandine's release got a release window for spring 2020, and it's going to be a global release.
Oh, okay.
So there's an update. So moving on from that, we've got Tokyo Mirage Sessions Sharp FE Encore, which is the Switch port of the game that came out on the Wii U that nobody bought because it was on the Wii U.
Yeah, exactly.
But, it says there's going to be extra content, but it didn't mention anything about whether or not the game would have less censorship or whatever. But no confirmation of an English dub either.
Yeah, so. If it's on the Switch, you can almost guarantee there's some censorship going on there, Eric. Like, to be honest, I was surprised that Nintendo allowed Resident Evil, the remake, to be remastered and remade for the GameCube. Went in and out. I thought that was a little too risque for them, but I don't know. I hope it's not censored, Eric. I hope they do come with an uncensored version, but we'll see.
No, it'll probably still be censored. It'll probably just maybe be tweaked so that it's less censored.
I guess.
Because there are a few things in that game that just don't make sense. Like a girl is wearing she's supposed to be an idol, and she's doing a photo shoot.
Uh-huh.
And the dialogue does not match the guy's enthusiasm he really thinks this girl is sexy who's dressed up in this cute alpha that makes her look like she's 10 years old.
Ugh,
which,
okay.
Incidentally, makes him sound a lot more creepier.
Yeah, yeah.
Which
I mean,
that probably wasn't their intent, but that's what happens when you localize without considering the consequences of your localization choices.
Yeah. And plus, I think it's kind of a cultural thing. Like, I don't know, man. You always get that vibe, like, the younger the better over there or something. I don't know, man. I don't understand it, but it, you know, little tweaks like that I'm okay with, but, like, full-on censoring, like, you know, like...
I mean, I can understand, like, cutting out the whole, like, panty mechanic, but, like, the bra, like, the lingerie stuff, I can understand that, because nobody wants to see that.
Well,
and, I mean this isn't that kind of game, so the fact that it was shoehorned in there to begin with is questionable.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. All right.
I mean, like, it's kind of like seeing fan service in something that normally didn't have fan service.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, if it's shoehorned in there and they remove it, no big deal. Here's something
that's... I've heard some, like, people talk to other people about... They've talked to developers that said they didn't want to put erotic elements in their visual novel, but in order to actually sell copies,
they had to do such things. Yeah, no,
so they end up making two versions of the game.
Well, I mean, it's true here. Sex sells, so, you know, but maybe this is inappropriate for the medium. But anyways, let's move on to another story.
I'm all for having fan service games, like fan service genre.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I think a game needs to be developed with that in mind and not have it shoehorned in.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree.
There was a game called Metabots, like Girls Try or something. I forget what it was called, but it had that kind of element to it, and like the fact is that series wasn't known for that at all, and that just felt gross when they did that.
Mm. Understandable. This is also understandable. Dragon Quest 1, 2, and 3 coming digitally to Nintendo Switch in Japan on September 27th. Comes to us from RPG site. So at the Nintendo Direct, they revealed it.
I got an update on this, too, that isn't in the article.
Okay, what's the update? We'll just go with the update. What you got?
They're rated for Asia, so that usually is a good indicator that the English... or a global release is coming.
Yeah.
Or at the very least, you'll be able to play it in English, because Asian releases tend to have English.
Been a long time since I played 1 through 3, Eric. You think they're worth playing?
They're probably
again?
Based on the mobile ports.
Yeah, I'm guessing.
Which a lot of people say are good, but I saw footage of 3 and it was too slow for my liking. It's like the SNES version is much faster than this.
Yeah.
But the music quality is better, so it's like... Do you want better music or do you want smoother gameplay?
Yeah, smoother gameplay would always be my answer.
I mean, they could easily fix that if they put more animation frames into the game and sped up the movement of your characters.
They could...
And I think the only reason why it was slow is because it was on a mobile device.
Well, even on the modern mobile devices should easily handle these games, Eric. Like, I've seen...
That's not the problem. The problem is, like, they slowed it down intentionally because the chances are you're going to rub your thumb in the wrong direction at some point.
Oh boy, I guess.
And I think that might have been a complaint of the SNES version because their characters do move a little too fast.
Okay. I'm always up for options.
And there was like a mechanic where if you ran up against the wall, they would just guess which direction you were pressing, and it'll probably just make you go left or right. Depending on which direction you're pressing first.
Yeah,
that was annoying. That could be useful, but it could also be annoying.
Yeah, there's always problems with that type of stuff, Eric. All right, what do we got next?
We've got Xenoblade Chronicles. Why? I hate the fuck that they put Chronicles in the title. It doesn't need to be there. It doesn't add to the title. It's just more words, and lots of people do not like extra words in your game titles.
Isn't that how it originally came out, though?
No, it was called Xenoblade in Japan, and then they called it Xenoblade Chronicles here, because it worked so well with Valkyria Chronicles.
Yeah. So this is
or Steambot Chronicles.
So this is part one, and they're coming out with a definitive edition for the Switch, right?
Yeah.
I'm glad.
And people are saying it's a remake, but it has extra content that was cut for the original release. But maybe it is a remake. Maybe they didn't even use the original engine. They just rebuilt it.
I'm glad, because I got Xenoblade Chronicles 2, and I'm a little lost on the story, so I'm hoping that if I play Xenoblade 1...
They have nothing to do with each other.
They don't at all? There's no references?
Well, no, there is a connection, but you won't find that connection until the end of the game.
End of 2 or 1?
The end of 2.
Okay. All right. Well,
like, and I can't mention what that connection is without spoiling the story.
Yeah, so don't spoil it.
You'll right. understand once you play both of those games to their completion.
Yeah. All right. Anything else?
But the fact of the matter is, you don't need to play one to play the other.
Okay. Anything else on this story, Eric?
No.
All right.
But now I got to sell my new 3DS version that I got for free years back when I actually was writing for Gears Tactics.
Yeah. All right.
Well, it used to be called Games Tactics. Now it's Gears Tactics.
Yeah. All right.
Because they don't do games anymore.
Okay. They don't do games anymore? That sucks.
No, just hardware.
All right. Next story comes to us from RPGsite.net as well. Torchlight 2 launches today. I don't know if this was yesterday or what, but it's out now for the PS4, Xbox One, and Nintendo Switch. And you can get it for... looks like $20, $19.99, and that's cool. That's a nice, nice price. There's some exclusives.
I have code for the Switch version, so I'm going to review that soon.
There you go. That's cool.
I got to write a lot of stuff. The only reason I haven't been running things is because I've got this little obsession called Neo that I actually sorted out. So
that's cool, man. There's some exclusives. You get a unicorn for the Switch. You get a molten imp for the Xbox One. And you get a fairy for the PS4. So that's kind of cool. Each system has its own things. Key features, action-packed multiplayer, customizable characters, open dynamic world, pets and fishing. That's kind of cool.
I was interested in the Switch version specifically because I have the PC version already. So I already have the best performing version of the game. So I wanted to check out the questionably performing version of the game.
Yeah,
not that the trailer concerns me, but Switch ports tend to be hit or miss, and they tend to be on the miss end.
Yeah. So. All right. Hopefully this next story won't be a miss, Eric. Go for it.
Romancing Saga 3 for Japan has been dated. Launch in Japan on November 11th for the PlayStation 4, Xbox One. Yay, the Xbox One, it gets released in Japan.
Yeah.
But Nintendo Switch, PlayStation Vita, Steam, and mobile devices. And, yeah, so they're doing it unlike they did Saga 2, where they released that on mobile first, and then they released that everywhere else later.
Yeah.
Much later.
Yeah.
But, they got it right this time. But, we have no Western release date yet, but we'll probably find out after it releases in Japan.
Yeah.
I'm going to say 2020.
Yeah. I think that's a safe bet, Eric.
Early 2020, because they could probably release it by the end of the year, but it doesn't make sense financially to do so. So.
Yeah. All right. Next story comes to us from Gamatsu. AI, the Somnium Files physical edition delayed to September 24th. The digital edition still coming out on September 17th. So I don't what it says here.
Basically, there's probably a shipping error.
Yeah, probably a shipping error. Increased demand and manufacturing delays is what the excuse is. I mean, a week is no big deal.
We need to make more.
Yeah. Week is no big deal. I don't fault people for like shipping delays and stuff like that. Like that type of shit happens. Plus, I'm guessing that the video game sector is going to be hit hard by these tariffs, Eric. Eventually, so we can expect delays and more monies and, you know, stuff like that. So, all right, what do we got next, Eric?
Okay, Raging Loot for PC has been dated. We talked about this last week, but there was no real date for the PC release. PC version's coming out on December 5th, following the PlayStation 4 and Switch releases on October 18th in Europe and October 22nd in North America.
Yep. And I do like the fact that it says it's a more mature psychological horror visual novel, Eric. So is this something that you're going to get your hands on, Eric?
Yeah, I need to contact PQ about it, but yeah. I also kind of need to start playing their other visual novel that they have.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, and now that you're freed up, maybe you can do that, Eric. But,
yeah.
And in some fairly exciting news, this comes to us from Gamatsu. Deadly Premonition 2, Blessing in Disguise, announced for Switch. And Deadly Premonition Origins available now, so sometime in 2020.
I seem to remember you not being down with it.
I was down with it because it was so awful. Like, people were like, you know. I mean, I'm totally down with it, Eric. Like, I don't have any issues with that at all. Like, I never played the first one, so this will be my hopefully be my opportunity to play the first and then go on to the second and see what everybody was talking about. You know,
I think it's like, I'm not sure how much it costs on the eShop right now.
Yeah, I don't know either. So.
Well, the physical version of the game won't come out until November, being published by Access Games, and I think they're handling the digital release as well.
Yeah, so that's cool. It'll give me a chance to play it and see how awful it is. I don't know if they did any improvements on the Switch version, which I'm hoping they didn't. I'm hoping it just and this is interesting. It's only coming to the Switch, apparently. Deadly Premonition 2.
Well, I think that's like a misnomer. I think like when they say that, it's usually like timed exclusivity. So, they're saying that to ensure sales, because if you think it's only going to be available on that console, you're only going to pre-order it. You're not going to not and wait and see.
Yeah. No, you might be right, Eric. All right, what do we got next?
So it's only until money gets involved.
Yeah, exactly. All right, what we got next?
We've got, hold on a minute here. Stay Cool, Kobayashi-kun. Which is River City Ransom Story for announcement. Well, that's what they're localizing it as, but it's probably Stay Cool Kobayashi-san Neketsu Monogatari Mokike Sekimoto.
Yeah, what Eric said there.
wait, maybe that is what it's called, but it's from the Neketsuku series, the Kunio-kun series, but you play as his rival Kobayashi, who has his own adventure in this game.
Does he eat hot dogs in this?
And it's pixel art, and yeah, it looks like they're kind of aping the River City Girls look, but then again, they kind of like helped develop the game along with WayForward, so like this is their own take on it.
Yeah. Stockholm, Sweden is in the house. What's up, Stockholm, Sweden? Host Me Raffles in the house, and Angel of Light is in the house. Welcome. Welcome on.
The full name of the character is Masao Kobayashi, and his friend.
Now, if there was a hot dog eating element in this game, that would be like the greatest thing of all time, Eric.
I'm sure you could eat hot dogs.
Oh, sweet. All right, let's move on to the next story.
That is a thing you can eat in Japan.
Yes. Let's move on to the next.
Usually are found in bentos, so.
Yeah, let's move on to the next story from Gamatsu. Super Robot Wars 5 for PC launches October 3rd, and pre-orders open September 19th. So that's the story there via Steam and alongside the Switch version. So there you go. October 3rd on Switch, Steam version to be announced. Standard editions, and I don't see any bonus editions, but yeah, there's the story, and we're sticking to it. All right, Eric, what do we got next?
Hold on a minute. I have to enter this age gate, because I wanted to look and see the price of Deadly Premonition Origins.
Oh.
But, we've got Super Robot Wars 5. Oh, wait, we did that one. Famicom Tante Club 1 and 2 remakes announced for Switch. Due out in 2020 in Japan. I hope these games fucking get localized, because Nintendo, why are you ignoring a visual novel market?
This is
a perfect game, considering that people like stuff like Ace Attorney.
Yeah, why not, Eric?
But, and it's a remake, so it's like the perfect time to introduce people to this series. The remakes of the first two games, by the way, because there's like a at least a good five of them, I think.
Yeah, it's interesting.
And the first two games have been remade several times. This is the latest.
Yeah, they showed the original in the trailer that I'm showing for everybody on the stream, and they were like 8-bit visual novels, which is kind of cool. And the remaster, I guess this would be a remaster, Eric. Look really
well, technically good. They're adventure games, but there's a lot of dialogue in adventure games, so you could conceivably call it a visual novel, get away with it. So
yeah, it looks fine. It looks really good, Eric. So this would be something interesting to check out if they get localized. So there you go. All right, and the final story. I get the honor of the final story, Eric. This is actually pretty exciting. Puzzle Quest: The Legend Returns announced for Switch. I was a huge fan of the original Puzzle Quest. So
now you could stop playing Marvel Puzzle Quest.
No, Marvel Puzzle Quest is good. I don't think I'll ever stop playing that.
Okay, but, wait. So publisher of this Deadly Premonition Origins, I contacted the wrong person about this. So I need to contact Toy Box and ask about a review code for Deadly Premonition Origins.
Yeah, there you
but
go.
But the cost of the game is, let's see, $29.99. Kind of pricey.
That's kind of pricey. I'll wait for a sale if they ever do a sale, which hardly
ever
happens.
I'm sure there will be.
Ugh, they hardly ever
sell. Now I need to look up Toy Box, but which is probably a Japanese developer. So.
Yeah. All right, so here's some key features. If you guys don't know what Puzzle Quest is, it's a kind of a match 3 RPG. It's fun. So there's some key features. Most Puzzle Quest content in one place. 240 quests. 100 new quests. Expanded and branching storylines. Best looking Puzzle Quest experience. Remastered to run at the highest resolution possible on the Switch. Original match 3 RPG experience, as I mentioned. Award winning franchise. Remastered with love. So there you go, and I'll play a little bit of the trailer. Freak5's in chat. What's up, Freak5? We're just talking about Puzzle Quest, and Puzzle Quest, if you haven't played it, is a great game. There's even bosses and all kinds of shit. It's a really fun game. I dig it. I'm glad it's coming to the Switch. So there you go. And that, my friends, is the end of the news. So no more news.
So I found their website. Hopefully I can navigate it.
Yeah, there you go. No homie discounts. I know PlayStation has a sale going on now. I didn't see anything super major on it. Xbox, same thing. Nintendo always lags
behind. I hate sifting through PSN sales because there's so many pages and there's only so many entries per page. Like there should be way more than that.
Yeah. No Dear Breakman this week because Breakman's on hiatus. He's on vacation this week, so we'll skip that till next week. So let's move on to...
Inquiring Minds want to know.
Inquiring Minds want to know what you've been playing, Eric.
London Tectectic Mysteria. I haven't really put a whole lot of it because of Neo, but I finally got to the end of the third route. Now there's only two left. But I didn't play Sekiro over the weekend. I need to delete that. But some River City Girls.
Okay.
It's a fun game. You should pick it up. It's kind of pricey, so maybe wait for a sale.
Where, like on the Switch or?
I got code for the PS4 version because WayForward just sends me codes at random instead of making requests for them.
Gotcha.
But I'll probably buy it on the Switch once it's on sale.
Okay.
But then I played Utawari Rumono Zan, which is the Dynasty Warriors like clone in the Utawari Rumono universe. The problem with the game is that it plays well, but it's loosely based on the original visual novel game. So, but like the problem here is that since it's loosely based on it follows the story of the visual novel, but I get the sinking suspicion that they cut out a lot of story content, so that you're getting bits and pieces of the story, which makes it feel like a Cliff Notes version. And releasing it before the remake of the first game comes out probably was a bad idea.
Okay.
The first game doesn't come out until next year, the remake of the first game.
All right.
Because it feels like a tease, and you won't understand half of what's going on.
Yeah, I was going to say something that would have probably been inappropriate, but... all right, what else have you been playing, Eric? Anything else?
I mentioned earlier, I played and beat Neo.
Yeah.
So I have a review for that.
Yeah. All right. I played a little bit of MPQ, and I got a chance to play a little more of the Talos Principle. Talos Principle is pretty fucking good, man. I'll try to have a review for it. I don't like to review things before I finish them, but I'm hoping to get that game finished and out of the way so I can get to some other stuff. But it's really good. I mentioned it before. It's a first-person puzzle game, basically. So, good stuff. All right. Speaking of reviews, Eric, why don't we get right into it?
RP Grinders reviews.
All right, Eric, you're up first. You have a review for Neo. Yeah.
Neo. That's what it sounds like when that sound clip plays. It sounds like someone's burping.
Yeah. All right, Eric, Neo.
Neo is... it was a game developed by Team Ninja, and it has been in development 9 years before 2017 when it launched originally. So that dates back to the early to mid section of the PS3 era. So you could tell because it kind of looks like a PS3 game.
Yeah.
So it's like Dark Souls 2 level of graphics, but the game plays at 60 FPS because of that. But I don't know if the game has pro support or not. But there's like the game mostly plays at 60 frames, but there are some instances where the frame pacing is bad. Well, bad frame pacing, the frame rate's gonna tank at some point. But like there are instances where the frame rates will spike and the game doesn't know what to do with itself, because like in one of the second to last areas, or the last area of the second to last regions that you travel to in the game, because like the game doesn't have like chapters, but it sort of does, because like each region's sort of like a chapter, and then it has its own individual levels that you can go to. But like that level in particular has a lot of nonsense going on in the last level, so the frame rate will just take a hit at some places until you clear the area of enemies or whatever.
Yeah. It doesn't the PS4 Pro by nature help out even if a game isn't optimized, Eric?
But like with bad frame pacing, it won't matter how good the performance of the machine is, because you're still gonna get choppy animation at some point, because you might have full frames, but you're gonna have choppy animation
unless the game is optimized, right? If it's optimized, then you should be good to go.
Yeah, and I think like there was some screen tearing at some points.
Ooh, I hate screen tearing. I think that should be a thing of the past.
Well, machines aren't powerful enough, apparently. Yeah. But you can only do so much with certain hardware. But like, so it's like, it's not something they could have fixed, because if they could have fixed it, they would have already. But it's been 2 years to fix it, so I don't think it's something that can't be fixed.
Yeah, apparently.
But
yeah.
Since it's a Souls-like, it's kind of unfair to call it a Souls-like, though, because if it was developed 8 years prior to its release, that means the game's been in development before even Demon's Souls came out.
Yeah.
So if anything, Demon's Souls stole ideas from them.
Yeah, I wouldn't say they stole anything. I'm sure they didn't have spies in each,
No, because if it was a true Souls clone, it would have played a lot slower. This game's much faster paced, and it actually feels more like a combination between Tokiden and Devil May Cry.
Okay. All right.
And like the combat's very similar to Dark Souls, but It's much faster paced, and it's got a stamina bar, but it's like the way it uses it's more interesting because like it's called your ki gauge, mm-hmm. and you use ki to you can do a ki thing called a ki pulse. If you pull off a perfect ki pulse, it will restore like a portion of the stamina you spent on attacks or running. Mm-hmm. Well, no, it's mostly attacks, but like you can either do it by holding R1 mm-hmm. or doing an evasion, and that will give you a slight brief stat boost to power up your next attack, and it lets you keep on the attack for a little bit longer, okay. as long as well the enemy's not trying to slam you in the face or something. But so that's an interesting mechanic. And then there's another mechanic where the game's heavily elemental weakness based, and it's something you can choose to exploit, but which you probably should, because like doing fire will eventually set your enemy on fire and do damage over time, which is at a pretty nice clip. Poison's apparently more effective, but because it's more cumulative, faster. But there isn't a whole lot of weaponry in the parts of the game I played that ended up being good poison weapon. They tend to be low damage, but I guess that's the idea. You use a low damage weapon to inflict poison quickly. But a lot of enemies I ran into that I tried to use poison on were resistant to it. So there's not very many enemies that you could exploit.
Yeah.
All but, right. You get other effects for other elements. But, the game is mission based, which means that it doesn't have the interconnectivity of a Souls game. But, and it also got the loot based system. So, like, you can't just find a piece of armor that does a certain thing. You find a piece of armor that has a variety of different stats, special effects that can be attributed to it. So you can find like a certain armor that you're looking for, but it might not have the traits you want. But you can do this thing called soul matching to add traits to an armor that you like, though. And so armors are tiered, and they're effectiveness is weighed by their level. So like the higher their level, the better stat boost that you get from it. But the tiers are basically Diablo, where you get the commons and the uncommons, and then the rares, and then the legendaries, and then on top of that there's the divine class, which usually has a special trait that's exclusive to that class.
Ooh.
and it's usually something really good, like for rifles or arrows or cannons, you can shoot an enemy with one of your shots, but if you miss, it will fall on the ground somewhere. You could pick it up again. So that's nice.
That's cool. Yeah.
But, it is hard, but, I think it's a much easier game to learn the patterns of the bosses and find different strategies to get around them. But one thing to keep in mind, though, is that your position is a lot more important than it is in Dark Souls. Because in Dark Souls, it doesn't matter what direction you're facing. If an enemy hits you, they're always going to do the same amount of damage. In this game, if your back's turned, you're probably going to die, because you tend to take a lot more damage when you aren't facing somebody directly.
Yeah, which makes sense. It's like an old D&D things. If you're prone, you take more damage. Mm-hmm. Welcome S1 Faka into chat, and Tade, welcome in.
And it has a story that it's trying to tell, which is probably another reason why it's mission based. But I think Neo 2, it's probably still going to have the mission based nature, but I think, like, you'll go to a region, and that region will be interconnected more, so it's more like Dark Souls, but, like, you'll do, like, a scenario there, and then you'll move on to the next island, because Japan's made up a bunch of islands. If it were a continent, it'd probably be a more interconnected thing altogether, but I could see them doing, like, portals to transport between different continents, or different islands, or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what do you give a Neo? Eric,
I'm giving it I didn't play any of the DLC, which I heard is really difficult compared to the main game, probably on the same level of playing on the Warrior, the Way of the Strong, which is that version's of the game's New Game Plus, but apparently it's like jacked up to like 7 or something already. So, which makes the game very difficult on that mode. But it's only for masochists, I guess, or people who want to level beyond 100. But I'm gonna give this game an 8.5.
Yeah, I know. Sterling raves about Neo. He really likes it, so
that's good. I would give it. The only reason I wouldn't rate it higher is because the performance is a little lacking on the PS4 version. But like, maybe this game would play better on my PC because it's at that Dark Souls 2 level of graphic detail that my PC could probably handle it. But
yeah.
I have not found a good price for the PC version yet.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to do a real quick review of It Chapter 2, spoiler-free, so you don't have to worry about me spoiling anything if you are listening. But if you're unsure, just fast-forward a couple minutes. I'm not,
so
not
going to you're talking about Freak having hearing aids, but Frank, you're older than Freak, so
how dare you?
Do you have hearing aids?
I don't need hearing aids. How dare you? But anyways, It Chapter 2 is pretty good. I like the jump scares a lot better in this one, but I'm not a huge jump scare fan. I like them okay, but I think if you're relying on jump scares, then you don't really have a great horror movie. And this part two...
You need something that makes you feel uncomfortable even after you've seen the movie.
Yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly, which is the reason why like movies like The Shining are they resonate. You know, the first chapter of It really resonated because it was genuinely scary. You have a really good actor portraying Pennywise. And, I mean, Pennywise is kind of the highlight of the second It as well. But I think the main problem that I had with this chapter two was it didn't seem like the stakes were super high because they weren't kids anymore. You know what I mean? So I think that took away from the movie as a whole, but there are
But isn't that a problem with the original narrative?
No. Yeah, I agree, but there,
or especially like, compared to the original It movie.
Well, yeah, I mean it's definitely superior to that. I mean that original miniseries on TV kind of sucked, other than Tim Curry. But I don't know. To me, it was lacking a lot of good scares, and it didn't resonate with me like the first chapter did. I actually give it a 7 out of 10, whereas I think I gave It Chapter 1 like 9 out of 10. I mean, there's something lost in translation from being a kid to an adult, and it didn't seem like the stakes were as high in this one as they were in the first. So I definitely recommend seeing it. It's fun to see in the theater. There are quite a few jump scares that are good. And Pennywise is really good. Skarsgård does a really good job. And I'm on the bandwagon for Skarsgård as a new Freddy. If they ever do a new Nightmare on Elm Street, I think he'd be a perfect choice because he's like tall and lanky, and he's definitely got the acting chops for it. So I would hope that they would at least make a play for him. Bernie in chat says, Bill Hader was good. Welcome into chat, Bernie. I didn't even see you in there. But yeah. It's worth a watch, for sure. Lurks is in chat. What's up, Lurks? Welcome back. So if you haven't seen it, which, why would you have, just came out today, I recommend watching it at theater. It's a fun time. It's not quite as good as the first, but so what? It doesn't need to be. And there's plenty of scares to be had in it. Just a different time.
Bill Hader, that was the guy that played Professor X in the X-Men movies, right?
No. Bill Hader is like, what was Bill Hader in? He's been in a lot of things. He was on SNL, but he's been in a few movies. He's a guy with glasses. I like him quite a bit.
Oh, wait, he's the guy that played Beast. That's right.
Yeah. No, that's Kelsey. Didn't Kelsey Grammer play Beast?
Oh, in the original X-Men series. I was talking about the First Class series.
Oh, you might be right. That is Bill Hader. Wow. I didn't even didn't even think about that, Eric. But yeah, he's been in quite a few things. He's trying to look at his wiki.
It's
here.
It's funny though, because the old X-Men trilogy is supposed to take place after the first trilogy, even though timeline got shifted a little bit. But like, yeah, there's a definite gap between the ages of those actors.
Yeah. He's been in like a lot of comedies like Pineapple Express, Tropic Thunder, Superbad, Hot Rod, Knocked Up, you know, so he was in Scott Pilgrim versus the World, Paul, Men in Black 3. So he's in, you know, more recent things. He was in Force Awakens. What else? Finding Dory. He was a voice. Ralph Breaks the Internet. Toy Story 4. And, of course, It Chapter 2. So, you know, he's been on Saturday Night Live. You probably know who he is. And he is the standout performer. His performance in the movie was really good. It's why I gave it a 7. Like, if it wasn't for Bill Hader, I would have probably ranked the movie a little bit lower. But all in all, not too bad. So I definitely recommend seeing it for sure. Especially at the theater. It's definitely a theater movie. So... All right, let's move on to high escapades. Okay, so I have a high. I actually have a few high escapades, but I'm going to hold off on a couple of them until next week. But I call this one Funky Butt. Okay. So let me turn the volume on this a little bit down. So you kind of got the mood for this, Eric, with the music. So we're sitting outside, right, Bernie and I, and we're just chilling. I'm of course, like, you know, partaking and enjoying the evening. It's been rather warm here. We've had a couple of record-setting days, but the nights.
In other words, you were high, right?
Yeah, pretty much. So, Frank's life is a high escapade. Pretty much, Freak Five. I'm not going to deny that. But anyways, so we're sitting there and just enjoying the evening. And all of a sudden, like, I feel like my ass kind of moving back and forth, you know? And so I'm like, what the hell's going on here? I got a little bit of funk in my life, I guess. So I'm looking over and Bernie's leg is like moving back and forth. So she's actually like... moving the bench that we're on, and it's like moving my ass. And so I was like, fuck it, I'm gonna roll with it. I kind of threw like a shoulder roll and, like, you know, just kind of got into it. And in my mind, I was imagining like a funky bass line, you know. And so I told Bernie about it. So that's my funky butt story. I was actually like moving without moving, and then all of a sudden I decided, you know what, let's just do it. So yeah, I rolled, how do they say, Eric, rolled with the punches, man, and I just decided to just go all out and have a little bit of a funky time out on the bench. So that was pretty fun. But Eric, I actually have a really fun high escapade for next week, and I hope Break joins, because it involves both of you guys. And I think you guys are going to get a big kick out of it. So, yeah, Funky Butt was my high escapade. Did you have a high escapade for this week, Eric?
No. I just wanted to say Monkey Butt, though.
Monkey Butt, for sure. All right, let's move on to...
what is it?
Stinko of the Week.
All right, Eric, do you have a stinko this week?
No.
No stinko. Wow. That's like 2 weeks in a row you haven't had a stinko. All right. I got a couple, Eric. One is Dorian. Hurricane Dorian. It kicked the Bahamas ass, man. Like, it was...
Hurricane Dorian Gray, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing funny about that hurricane, man. It ripped the Bahamas. I think 20 people died. It was a category 5 at one point when it was kicking the shit out of the Bahamas. So, I'm hoping if anybody has family in the Bahamas that they're okay. Because it was a terrible storm. that destroyed a lot of property, killed a lot of people, injured a lot of people. So wishing the best for everybody out there. I'm sure there's appropriate places to donate if you're inclined to do so. Those people are hurting. If you can donate the bit of cash, then please do so. But this kind of – my next Stinko kind of goes along with it. But I don't know if you noticed this, Eric, but like Donald Trump like put up his hurricane projection map, and he took a Sharpie and like included Alabama just so he didn't have to be wrong. And that's a felony. I know he's going to get away with it because he's the president and he's above the law and nobody gives a shit, including the Democrats in the House and Senate.
No, it's not that he's above the law, so nobody gives a shit.
Well, I think both. I think he is above the law, and I think nobody gives a shit, including the Democrats. Pelosi's, you know, sitting on her hands, and so is Schumer. So they all suck. But anyways, that's the level of childness that we have.
If only we could bribe the people in power to actually do something. Because, like, they're obviously bribed to not do anything, so why can't you bribe them to do the right thing?
Well, you'd have to have the proper amount of money, and none of us do, Eric. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, you're right. Like, they're beholden to their donors, and Brake and I talk about it all the time. It's about getting money out of politics, and I think that's going to be the change that revolutionizes everything. Until that happens, we're just going to have a lot of the same. It's the reason why I like somebody like Bernie Sanders over, you know, people like Andrew Yang and Elizabeth Warren. Elizabeth Warren has admitted she's going to take donor money in the general election, which I think is a terrible move.
So I don't know much about Yang, so what's going on with him?
We'll talk about Andrew Yang in a minute, Eric. I'll get on to his big deal. And why he's gaining traction in a minute. But I don't know. We have a child in the presidency that, you know, this time around. And it's not going to change until we get money out of politics.
You mean Bush wasn't a child too?
Oh, he was a child, but he was at least a controllable child. This child's out of control. He reminds me a lot of Joffrey from Game of Thrones, if you guys have seen Game of Thrones. But it's very apt descriptor. Freak5 says, I kind of have a stinko, but it's also kind of a sweeto. His arm is fucking itching, but that means the tat is healing. So he's still crying about his tattoo. That's what Freak5 is basically saying there. So, all right, let's move on to...
Dude, what does my tattoo say?
Sweet! Sweeto of the week!
All right, Eric, do you have a sweeto this week?
Just getting through my work week.
Yeah, I kind of have a sweeto.
I guess I do sort of have a stinko because I have to work overtime. I have to come in early at 6 and stay till 3:30. I had to stay till 3:30 today. Ooh, so that's not.
That kind of sucks, dude.
I mean, yeah, I already get up early, but now I have to leave earlier. So now I have to make sure I get up even a little bit earlier now.
Yeah,
I can't sleep in.
Freak 5 says he is crying while stating facts. So there you go. Let's move on to my sweeto, Eric.
Oh, boy.
I'm kind of giddy, Eric. I know you're not much of a sports guy, but if Breakman was here, he would totally appreciate what I'm going to be saying. Football's back. Last night, the first game of the year.
Baseball's ending soon, so yay.
No, it's not yay. I like baseball too, but I really miss football when it's gone, man. And
but basketball's picking up soon too, so.
Yeah, I know, and I love basketball. I like a lot of sports, man, especially all four of the major ones. But yeah,
But don't, under any circumstances, play the story mode of 2K2 or 2K whatever the fuck it is now.
Which one? Like basketball?
NBA.
Oh yeah. Shit.
Have you seen the video online? It is the worst performance I've ever heard in a game ever in terms of voice acting.
You know, I picked up that game for like $3, Eric, digitally. So, because they had like this.
I'm talking about the new one, not the old ones.
Oh, the 2K20 one, not the 19. Shit, that sucks. Yeah. But yeah, so I'm happy. Football's back. It's a huge void in my life, man. Like when football's not on, it just to me it just kind of sucks. I'm a huge Denver Bronco fan, so I don't know. It's just something I really like. Freak Five says another one of his Stinko's break.
I mean, it's probably something they'll fix later, but yeah. As is right now, it's the worst thing I've ever seen, and that's saying a lot considering how awful Chaos Wars was.
Yeah. Freak Five says break is gone. That's another one of his Stinko. He says he watched The Boys and Umbrella Academy this past week. I love them both. So that's ringing endorsement there. Bernie says my pseudo is I got a pretty good job. Yay. That is cool. That is a good pseudo. I also have another pseudo, Eric. And kudos to Breakman. I got to tell him next week. Like Disney Plus ran this sale. If you signed up for their D23 account, which I was already a Disney Rewards member, but all you have to do is sign up for their D23 account, which is no big deal. And they gave you a coupon for 3 years at whatever $140 after tax breaks down to is what I paid for 3 years at Disney Plus. So that's starting in November, and man, the lineup is really good. They got all the Disney stuff, of course, all the Marvel stuff. They even include National Geographic, which is awesome. So I'm really excited, man. I thought it was a really good deal for what you're getting.
Well, they have National Geographic since they bought Fox.
Yeah, so. yeah, which is really cool. I mean, I think that's...
Well, technically they bought Fox Studios, not Fox News, but Fox Studios includes things like National Geographic.
Yeah, who the fuck wants Fox News, man? That's, I mean, who gives a shit about that? But, yeah, it's, I thought it was a solid deal.
Well, if Disney had bought Fox News, I'd hope they'd at least change it for the better.
Yeah, I don't know. I just
get rid of the fact that it's nothing but a propaganda machine for the conservative base.
Yeah, for sure. So I don't know. I thought that was a really good deal. It's like $45 a year or something, whatever it breaks down to. And you know, you get all the Marvel stuff, which alone is probably worth the price of admission. All the Star Wars stuff. The Mandalorian looks good. It's coming out. I don't know, man. There's lots of good advantages to having that service. So I'm glad I got it on that deal. Now, if I could just get a couple more years.
That reminds me. I need to watch the Clone Wars before they shift it off of Netflix soon.
Yeah, well, that it's going to Disney Plus, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
Along with the premiere of season 7.
Yeah, there's lots of stuff that's going on there, man. Like all the Marvel series, like WandaVision. I know they had Loki on there. It just seemed worth it, especially at that price. So. I was happy to pick it up at that price for 3 years. So, and of course you're going to get all the movies and, you know, access to all the
stuff. I could watch Atlantis in a few months. Yeah. I could pay $5 now to watch on Vudu, but yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to our free for all, Eric. All right, this week's free-for-all, we talked a little bit of Andrew Yang a little bit earlier, Eric, but his big thing is universal basic income, and what that entails is he will give every American $1,000 a month. Now, on the surface, sounds really good. Freak Five says, oh, we went and saw Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, and it was good. I saw that movie too, Freak Five. I don't know if I did a review on it, but if I had to give a review, I'd give it an 8 out of 10. I think it's worthy of watching at the theater. I thought it was really good. So anyways, universal basic income, Eric. So basically the government will give you $1,000 a month. Like I said, it sounds good on the surface, but there is a catch to the way that Andrew Yang, as far as I understand it, looking from the policy on his website, basically you have a choice. If you get government benefits, i.e. food stamps, etc., you have to make a choice. Either, you know, those benefits or the $1,000 a month, which to me, what this reeks of is it will...
Well, considering most food stamps programs are less than that.
But if you like medical programs, et cetera, et cetera. So you have to make a choice. Either you get help from the government in you know, one form, or you have to take this $1,000 a month. And the way that I read it, Eric, it would break down that if you're, let's say you have a job or two jobs, mm-hmm. It would actually help you out. You know what I mean? Because then you would, you really wouldn't have to rely on the government for, you know, a lot like food and, you know, maybe a couple of your bills, et cetera, et cetera. So, but if you're the poorest of the poor, and you don't have a job, for instance, then it makes absolutely no sense. If you took the $1,000, it'd be way less than the benefits that you would be getting from the government. So, in essence, it's not going to help the people that need it the most, and it's marginally going to help people that you know may need it, and it's definitely not going to help anybody that you know that doesn't need it in the upper tier of money. But my whole thing is, If a universal basic, I mean, on the surface, it sounds cool, right? If you're not working, if you're out on your luck and you're not using government benefits, then yeah, who wouldn't want $1,000 a month? I personally think that it would harm the lower income brackets more than it would help. Because if you count up like, all the medical benefits that people on, let's say, Medicaid get or Medicare and all that type of stuff, along with like food assistance and, you know, dental assistance and, you know, everything else that people on those programs get, including welfare, it doesn't make sense to take the $1,000 a month. If you were to take $1,000 a month on top of all your benefits, then it would lift millions and millions of people out of poverty. So it's a really good idea, but the way that Andrew Yang frames it, it's not about helping people. It's kind of like a government program with caveats. You know what I mean, Eric? Like it doesn't. The way that I read it, it's not something that's going to help a lot of people. So,
what makes more sense to me is to just focus on trying to not only work on do a universal healthcare program, but also to improve the economy in such a way that we wouldn't need a program like this in the first place.
Yeah. Freak 5 brings up what the Yang Gang always tells me.
And there are many ways to do that, but the problem is nobody wants to.
It wouldn't be needed, Freak 5. He says the UBI is going to be needed. Many jobs are going to be automated. It's predicted that in 20 years, most driving jobs will be done by self-driving vehicles. I get it. But you think that those truckers that are going to be out of a job due to automation are going to be satisfied with $1,000 a month when they're making like way more than that, Freak 5? It makes zero sense. Now, if you're saying, let's give everybody a universal basic income and they get to keep their Social Security, their Medicare, Medicaid, whatever, you know, government insurance they're on, and we can give people a guaranteed job with a minimum wage of $15 an hour, then I'm all for it. And by the way, not everything can be automated. When you're talking about a green...
Yeah, you're still going to need a technician to do service and maintenance once in a while.
Oh, yeah. There's no question.
And you're going to need the person to just make sure it's always doing what it's doing.
Yeah, and if you're guaranteed a job that's paying at bare minimum $15 an hour, which is the bare minimum living wage, then, you know, then I'm okay with the UBI. But if you're saying all you get is a UBI, you know, no, I disagree with that. I mean, Freak 5, you know as well as I do that rent alone would cost somebody almost $1,000, if not $1,000 or more. So what is $1,000 a month going to do with no benefits? It's going to do nothing. And I understand the automation argument, but if you have...
I could see it being a cushion, but for those who need more than a cushion, it's little more than a Band-Aid.
Everybody needs more than a cushion. I mean, there. You think if you gave a homeless person right now $1,000 a month, that would be sufficient enough to take care of that person?
Also, don't trust the government to keep it up anyway.
Yeah, so. there's. I agree with you, Freak Five. There are definite problems with the UBI. Now, if you came to me and you said, I think a UBI it would be good if you gave it on top of all the other benefits, then great. I mean, then that would cushion the blow of the automation thing. But to give somebody $1,000 a month, period, and they have no chance of getting any other benefit, it doesn't help the lowest class people. It does not. It actually hurts more than anything. So, yeah, it sounds good, you know.
It's like an insurance company selling you two different plans, but yeah, both plans are shitty.
Yeah, no, that's right. So that's why, like, I'm, like, fully on board with what Bernie Sanders wants to do. He wants to give us Medicare for all, which would be a huge boon. I mean, that would be a huge boon in money for people, and they don't even realize it. You're paying a huge tax with deductibles and co-pays and all that stuff. Universal haircare, Medicare for all eliminates that altogether, right? So now instead of paying, you know, you pay a little more upfront in taxes, but you're getting the deductibles back. You're getting, you know, the co-pays back. You don't have to pay any of that. So it's a net win for you. Let's say you pay, I've seen numbers on people that pay up to $12,000 a year or more on healthcare. Let's say you eliminate that, so you're plus $1,200, but let's say you pay an extra $3,000 in taxes, you're still up $9,000 a year. So that's a good start. A minimum wage of $15 an hour, that's a really good start because that's a living wage. And then a universal jobs guarantee is another good thing too. So even if you do, let's say you are that trucker and you're out of a job and you have no other skills, but the government says, well, we have a jobs guarantee. These are the jobs available. You know, it may not be something that you want right now, but it's a guaranteed $15 an hour, which is a decent living wage. I actually think that should be $20 an hour, but that's a different debate for a different time. You know, that's a good thing. Now, would I like Bernie Sanders to adopt a UBI into his platform? You're damn right I would. Because if you're that homeless person and all of a sudden you get medical benefits and you get certain housing benefits and you get an additional $1,000 a month, now we're talking about raising people out of poverty, you know. And then people say, well, where are you going to pay for that? Pretty easy. We pay a little bit more in taxes, but the savings that you get from Medicare for all, let's say you reduce the military budget a little bit, there's some money to be had there. And I'm not even saying drastically reduce a military budget. I'm saying a little bit goes a long way. You know, that $1,000 a month, if you counted all the Americans and you figured out how much it would cost a year, the military budget could easily absorb the UBI, and Medicare for all, you know, with the additional taxes, would easily pay for itself within a matter. I think the estimates were within the first 5 to 10 years, it would pay for itself basically. I know there would be upfront costs and it would cost a little extra, but you know what? Wall Street can take that cost. We bailed out Wall Street. Now it's time for Wall Street to bail us out. Freak Five says, close the tax loopholes the rich use. That's another one. And that's another thing that Bernie Sanders really talks about in his platform, Freak Five. Like, there will be taxes on, like, stock trading. There will be an additional estate tax. Like, people that make more than a certain amount of money will pay their fair share. So these are all things that we can definitely pay for. I know the rich don't want to hear this. And if you listen to mainstream media, it costs too much. That's all they talk about. But when you show them on paper that, yes, it can actually pay for itself, and there are studies to back this up, I don't have the studies in front of me, but there was a Koch-funded study from the Koch brothers that actually laid it all out and said that, yes, Medicare for All is the right thing to do. And
but they're the Koch, so they said no.
Yeah, right. Well, they donate to who they want to donate to. But their own study found that it actually would save money as opposed to what we currently have now, which is Obamacare, which, by the way, Mitt Romney pretty much came up with. So it's a Republican healthcare plan that still leaves hundreds of thousands of, if not millions of people off of healthcare coverage. And it's time for Medicare for All. And the only person that I really trust to get it done is Bernie Sanders. I don't trust Elizabeth Warren. She doesn't even have it on her website. I know what she says to a certain demographic of people, but then she says the exact opposite to others. She's wishy-washy, and I just don't trust her to follow through and fight for it. But Bernie Sanders, you can definitely trust to do so. Andrew Yang, I think, is a lot of talk. He's a business entrepreneur, and I understand. Yeah,
he, to me, he seems very attractive to centrists.
Yes, and he is, like, even more so than somebody like Elizabeth Warren. I think Elizabeth Warren is a little left of Andrew Yang.
He has the appearance of a progressive, but he probably isn't.
Yeah, I kind of feel that way about Elizabeth Warren. You know, she had a chance in 2016 to endorse Bernie Sanders. She didn't do it. She went with Hillary Clinton. And, you know, I just hope she does the right thing this year. I you know, it's going to be between her and Bernie. And I think if Bernie is well ahead, which I'm almost certain he will be, especially after Iowa, then because Biden's going to tank. He's already tanking. I just hope that she does the right thing. And we cannot have the super delegates vote for us. And the will of the people could just be the will of the people. But I like the concept of a universal basic income. I understand where the Yang Gang, their hearts are, but they're just not looking at it the right way. If it was in addition to the benefits, that would actually lift millions of people out of poverty. But, you know, who am I? You know, I do wish that Bernie Sanders would, of all things, like I haven't been critical of Bernie Sanders because he is the clear choice candidate for me. But this is one thing where I do think he needs to look at, and it can work in conjunction with what he's doing, and it could actually be a benefit. But it has to be done better than what Yang is proposing on his website. So, you know, that's kind of how I stand on it. What do you think, Eric? You think a UBI would be good in the form that Yang has it listed, or do you
only
think...
in the short term? But otherwise, no.
Yeah. It's a short term thing for sure. I mean, if you ask a homeless person, okay, you have nothing now. So if I give you $1,000 a month, would that be good? I mean, that person's still going to be homeless for the most part. You know, it's not going to pay for every bit of, I mean, 12, think about that. Can you live on $12,000 a year, Eric?
No. Would
you? Yeah, it's just not possible. Now, if you were to say to that same person, you can get medical benefits.
I barely make $17,000 a year. So
yeah, I know it's hard, and it's hard, man. I mean, I know I've been, I've had the lowest of income for the longest, but, you know, I know $12,000 isn't enough to live on. So, you know, you do what you can do. But anyways, but I agree with Freak 5 too. You got to close a lot of the loopholes. You got to start charging for every. You see, that's how Bernie wants to pay for Medicare for All. He wants to charge it's basically almost nothing. Like if you were to trade stocks, you wouldn't even notice it. But it's like, I think it's less than a penny for every trade. That's made on Wall Street. It would make up a good chunk of the money for Medicare for All. So, you know, I fully agree with that. Freak 5, close the loopholes, tax the rich their fair share. I think corporations are getting a pass right now. I know Brake and I have disagreed on this before, but the numbers are there. Amazon doesn't pay a fucking penny in taxes anymore. And if that's fair, I don't know what's unfair. You know, I mean, it just, to me, it seems like it should be the opposite. I think the corporation should pay a good chunk. Back in the 50s, I think the tax rate was at somewhere between 70 and 90%. I don't think we should go that far, but I think 25 to 50% of their earnings, of their profit. Not, I'm not talking about, you know, like overhead and all that stuff, because that's detrimental. But 25 to 50% of the profit, I think it's fair. I think that's a fair tax for corporations, and they'd be just fine. Their CEOs might not make 20, 30, 40, 50 million a year, but, you know, they could definitely use a reduction in profits. So, I mean, that's kind of my feeling on it, Eric. Like, if it was on top of everything.
It's like the money that they need for this would have to involve probably cutting military spending.
Yeah,
but if you're going and other useless things, but if you're going to do that, that money would be better used to actually, you know, do universal health care.
Yeah, I agree. But you don't even need a huge cut to the military budget. Like when we talk about military cuts, people are like, "Oh my God, we're not going to be able to pay our military." If you were to cut the military budget by let's say $100 billion, Eric, that would go a long way. Into, mm-hmm. you know, if you wanted to do a UBI or if you wanted to do, you know, a good chunk of Medicare in addition to charging, you know, Wall Street for every trade that you do. I don't see the problem with that. The military would be just fine. You know, maybe start bringing some of our troops home to make up a little bit of that budget.
I mean, yeah, just get about us places we don't need to be in.
Yeah, I mean,
which stuff is a like lot that. Of places.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's we're talking in broad generalities, and it's not as easy as that. But I think if you know. A lawmaker as talented as somebody like Bernie Sanders were to be president, I think we could get a lot of this shit done. I mean, the main thing is Medicare for all. If anybody's not on board with Medicare for all, I dismiss them out of hand. The only people that I know that have shown support for it, of course, Bernie Sanders from day one, he's never wavered. Elizabeth Warren has wavered, which makes me uneasy about her. Same thing with Yang. I know Marianne Williamson has talked about it, but she's a whacked out, you know, chakra loving fucking hippie as far as I'm concerned, and would not be the right choice. But, you know, and then of course Biden is fully against it. Kamala Harris was a co-signer of the bill, and now she's backpedaled, so she's out of my list of anything. She's a centrist, just like Biden. Booker is another one, Cory Booker, that's not on my list. So, you know, the only two people that I'm really considering, Yang is kind of on the outside because he doesn't support Medicare for all. He doesn't support a living wage. But it's Bernie number one, Warren number two. If I had to close my nose, I would vote for Warren. You know, like pinch my nose and vote for I'd vote for Warren. But those are the only two people that I'm even considering at this point. And I would have a hard time voting for Warren. But Sanders would be an easy choice to pull that lever for. I do hope that he looks at that universal basic income and maybe incorporate something like that into his platform. That would be my only, one of my few criticisms of Bernie's platform. Otherwise, I mean, if you look at his website, he's got very detailed plans. His Green New Deal is fucking phenomenal. I know AOC... with Inslee and a few other people proposed a Green New Deal. But if you want to get down to brass tacks and look at a really comprehensive Green New Deal, just look at Bernie's plan on that. And hopefully he would get a lot of shit done as president. Mainly Medicare for all. Green New Deal is kind of like a pipe dream, but I think somebody like Bernie could definitely make inroads there. You know, college tuition for free should be a no-brainer. I mean, the only way to really lift your country out of the doldrums is to be educated. It's been proven time and time again, and education is key.
Or screw that. Like, how about K-12? Like, how about not having to pay for your school books?
Yeah, that's that. Well, I'm sure that's in the plan. I haven't looked at the college tuition plan, but yeah, K-12, definitely comprehensive on that too.
And quit fucking with kids and their free lunches, please.
Oh my God! And how about better lunches? You know what kind of shit that they serve for free lunches, Eric? Like they're like, you can't even call some of that shit food. Like, you go to different countries and they have, like, not gourmet meals, but, like, they have things like fish and you know, healthy shit. I mean, it's unheard of in some countries to have, like...
Yeah, Japanese kids get good stuff.
Yeah, people in Italy, people in France. I mean, it's just... I mean,
apparently, a lot of the kids have the food brought and then they make it themselves.
Sometimes that happens too.
They're taught how to make food, which is a good skill.
Yes. Why not?
And the kids cooperate together.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's true, Eric. Like, it's, I don't know, man. We've got things a little bit backwards here, but I think it can
be. I'm not
be.
Saying that all Japanese schools do this, because they certainly don't, but a lot of them do.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But I don't know. I like the concept of UBI, Eric, but it's got to be in conjunction with the benefits that we already have, like Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, you know, housing, you know, assistance and stuff like that. If it's an addition, I'm totally down for it. If it's not, I don't even want to hear about a UBI. It makes zero sense. You know, if you have a universal jobs guarantee, you have a medical guarantee. I mean, that's half the battle right there. So, you know, it's it is what it is. Do you have anything else on that, Eric, before we
end? No. Yeah. Other than the fact that I'm hungry, I want to get out of here.
I'm kind of hungry, too. Let's end the show a little bit early today. We didn't have break, man. I think that's why.
I mean, I went to Subway, but I had that, like, hours ago, so I'm hungry again.
I think it's your turn. Your turn to post the show, Eric. Yeah. So, all right, I guess that's going to be it. What are your plugs, Eric?
I'm going to plug it for being out, so go see it.
Yeah, and yeah, I recommend it, yeah.
Also, if it's still in the theaters in your area, go see Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
Yeah, support that movie. It's a good movie. I didn't give
and
it a review.
And I'll be back next week to have a... No, not next week, the week after next week, because I think the date's like the 18th or something. But I'm going to see an anime movie called Promare.
You're going to be here next week too, though, right, Eric?
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. All right, what other plugs you got, Eric?
I'm going to plug my Patreon pages in my Twitter profile, which is at EricRPG. And I write reviews for websites of video games. And then I do the stuff here. And if you want to support me, like, even as little as a dollar would help.
Yeah, go check out Eric Kelly on Patreon. And don't, you know, throw a little bit of money his way. He does really good written reviews, and of course he does good work on this show. So there you go. Anything else, Eric?
Stay safe if you're still dealing with Dorian's aftermath.
Yeah, in the Carolinas, and feel bad for the people in the Bahamas, man. You know, if you can donate a dollar or two to some of those relief funds, then you know, obviously do it. Where can people catch you on all the systems, Eric? I know we never really get a chance to.
Fun ET Man, which is spelled capital N on M on PlayStation. But it's just lowercase M on Xbox. Or there's my Switch friend code, which I've since updated my Twitter profile to remove my 3DS because no one's playing 3DS anymore. So
I know it's weird. Okay.
I think you could just search me by name for a request.
Okay.
On the Switch, and that's the same as my Twitter handle.
All right. What's your Twitter again, Eric?
And it's Funny T-Man on Steam as well. So. Twitter handle is at EricRPG.
Freak5 says, are you going to play some Friday the 13th tonight? There's a good chance I will, Freak5. I got to go eat.
Is there crossplay with that game and the other two versions? Or
I'm not or sure. I think it's...
Because I know Sony doesn't like that, so but maybe, I don't think they've tried to block it.
I don't know but is the answer.
But there may not have been any to begin with, so...
I don't think there is, Eric, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. But I wish there was, because then we could all play it. But you should get it on the PS4.
I don't have the Switch version either, though, so I don't have any version of the game.
You can pick it up on the cheap now, Eric. Yeah, so pick it up.
I'm not really into the one versus four or whatever.
It's pretty fun though. It actually is really fun. And if you're playing with friends, like I played a couple of times with Freak 5 and Dead Dog's Eye. I don't know your friend's name, Freak 5, but it was fun because you kind of play in conjunction with each other and you don't have to deal with douches.
Nintendo's working on getting crossplay for Overwatch on Switch, which is a thing that happened in the Direct. They announced it the very first thing.
Yeah. Get it for the PS4, Eric. Pick it up on the cheap. I think you can get it for like $10 or something, and then we can all play.
So. I need to get a PS subscription.
Wait till November, and then it becomes real cheap, Eric. Like $40 for the whole year. So that's what I'm waiting for. But Peter from the Maldi broadcast. I totally forgot Freak 5. So yeah. Cool dude. Really cool. Cool dude. And we have a good time. Like I suck at it, Eric, but it's fun. It's really fun. I have a good time with those guys. Good chance I'll be on there tonight, Freak 5. I looked for you last week and I didn't see you. I was gonna play a little bit last week, but I didn't see you on there. I saw Dead Dog's Eye, Peter. But I don't know. But maybe tonight will be a good night for that, Freak 5, so look forward to that. I got to go eat and stuff first, but I'll look for you. So, yeah, if you were a Plus member, a couple months ago they had it for free.
I think I got it on free, but I haven't renewed my Plus subscription because I haven't had a desire to do that.
Oh, that's cool. Well, yeah, when you get it for $40, like in November, they'll have a sale. And then, yeah, you were out last week. Okay. All right. You can follow me on Twitter at Frank Branches. If you just want to harass me there, feel free to do so. On all the systems, I'm RP Grinders. So RPG, RINDERS. So if you want to catch me on any of the systems and become my friend on there, I don't have a lot of friends. I mean, I think the most I got is like 10 on the Xbox, but, I'm mostly on PS4, so that's where you're subscribed to
Plus this month, just for this month's Plus games.
Oh yeah, this month's good month for that. I think they got Batman Arkham and can't remember.
I subscribed to the. I also went for the $2 for Game Pass deal on the Xbox, so I could play Gears 5, but I need to play through 4 first.
Oh man, 4 is okay.
Also for Devil May Cry 5.
4 just is like. It ends all of a sudden, but 5 looks really, really good. And
you mean like it's not even like finish the fight like Halo 2? It's just over.
Yeah, it just ends, man. It's weird, but 5 looks really, really good. So, anyways, that's about. Thanks everybody in chat. Freak 5, of course, was.
I better
in there.
Start downloading all of those right now.
Yeah, Angel Light was in there. Freak 5 was in there. Commander Root, Lurks, S1 Faka, Tade, Windsock. I know there was a couple other people in there. I can't remember who you were. Oh yeah, Darksiders 3 was the other one for this month. So, but anyways, yeah. Thanks for joining everybody. Stay safe this weekend.
See, what I like to do is I wait till like the ass end of the month, then I'll subscribe because then I could pick up like 2 sets of games.
Yeah, I know. Thanks to all the archive listeners out there. Thank you very much. If you want to send us questions, send them to at RP Grinders on Twitter. And we answer them all on the air. Do hashtag Dear Breakman if you have a relationship question or any question in general. And we always answer all the questions that you have. So that's about it. I don't have anything else. Do you, Eric?
No. Have a good weekend.
Stay safe this weekend. We want to see you back here next week. Until then, we're out.
Also, no funky bro.
No cowbell this week because break was off.
Maybe break has anal ghosts. Maybe that's what you had.
I didn't have anal ghosts, man.